Welcome to A.T. Stewart and Sons Ministries. I am glad to welcome my youngest son to our ministry team. Josh is one of the teaching pastors at Summit Church in Naples, Florida. Now take your Bibles and let's listen to God's Word together.
Well, good morning. Welcome to Summit Church. My name is Josh Stewart. I'm one of the pastors here at the Naples campus. And today is a very special day at Summit because today is Public Sunday. Now, for those who have been around a long time, you know exactly what Public Sunday is. It's something that we do every October. In fact, when I was coming down to interview for this position at Summit 4 years ago, it actually was on Public Sunday. But for those who have not been here for a year, or maybe it's your first time here, you're thinking, what in the world is Public Sunday? Why would you even call a Sunday morning Public Sunday? Well, Public Sunday is really special because at this campus, on our other two locations, we take time, we end the service a little bit early, and we actually encourage you to go to Publix. The Publix that we're going to go today is north of here, right at the corner of Bonita Beach Road and 41, just like a mile up the road here, and we're going to ask you to go, and we're going to ask you to purchase groceries for a local food bank. And what we want to do is we want to tangibly meet the needs of those who need food here in Collier County. And so we work with Health Outreach, which is a faith-based food bank. We've been working with them for years, a great ministry. We'll be collecting food. They're going to have a truck there that we're going to give it to the people to take down to Health Outreach. They're on JC Boulevard down in Naples. And Health Outreach has been doing ministry work in Naples, feeding the hungry, for over 20 years. It was started by Joe and Angie Valentini, and the work that they've done has just been absolutely amazing. Unfortunately, Joe passed away very recently, so we're very grieved by that, and so we just ask you to pray for Angie, his wife, and even the family and the rest of the team, as they're still dealing with such a big loss. But they're continuing on this mission to feed those in Naples, and what we want to do is we want to tangibly meet those needs. We want to go, we're going to have a list of items that we're going to give to you. You're going to go there, Publix is ready for us, we're going to purchase food, we're going to load it up, and we want to care for the needy and the hurting here in Collier County. But before we do that, before I dismiss you, we're going to take the next 20, 25 minutes or so, and we're going to kind of examine the heart behind Publix Day. Why are we motivated to do this? Why should we be motivated to do this? Why should we step in to a situation like this and meet the needs of the hungry, of the hurting here in Collier County? Do we just do this because, you know, Health Outreach asked us to and said they needed more food? Do we just do this just to meet a tangible need? Are we motivated because it makes us feel good when we do things like this? Like, what is our motivation behind it? What I want us to do is have the right heart posture as we step into something like Publix Day. As special as it is, we want to make sure that our motives are good and sincere. And so in order to kind of pull out our motives, we're going to be in, like Michael mentioned, Luke chapter 10 today. So if you have your Bibles, you have your phones, you can turn over to Luke chapter 10. We're going to be in verses 25 all the way down to verse 37. We're going to be talking about the story of the Good Samaritan. So whether you've been in church your whole life or maybe you've never been at church and this is your first Sunday stepping in, you've probably heard about the Good Samaritan, at least to some degree. It's probably the most famous parable in the entire scriptures. And what we're going to learn about today actually is this information and that's been brought out. And a lot of what we're going to talk about today, I give credit to someone, Dr. Karen Purvis, who is she works with kids from hard places. She's brilliant in the foster care industry. She's written books. She has curriculum. And in her study guide, Created to Connect, she actually talks about this parable and brings out some of the truths that we're going to talk about today. So I want to give her credit up front. But before we read the parable of the Good Samaritan, I'm going to go ahead and tell us the motivation that we see that Jesus gives us today in order as we enter into Publix Day. And this is it. It's right here. Jesus calls us to have sincere compassion for our neighbors. So Jesus calls us, and through this parable, he does it, calls the people he's originally talking to, for those who are reading it thousands of years later, he calls us to have sincere compassion towards our neighbors. That's what we want to be motivated by as we step into Publix Day. We want to be motivated by sincere compassion. And what this parable does, it kind of gives us three benchmarks or three markers of what sincere compassion actually looks like. And so just a moment after we read that, we're going to kind of flesh those out and apply those. But let's read the parable together and see how it tells us and teaches us what sincere compassion looks like towards our neighbors. And so we're going to begin in verse 25 of Luke chapter 10. This is what the word of the Lord says. And it says, "Behold, a lawyer stood up to him to test him." This is talking about Jesus. "Saying, Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And he said to him, What is written in the law? How do you read it? And he answered, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all of your strength, and with your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. And he said to him, you have answered correctly, do this, and you will live. But he, desiring to justify himself, said to Jesus, and who is my neighbor? And Jesus replied, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among robbers, who stripped him and beat him and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he journeyed, came to where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. He went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. And then he set him on his own animal and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And the next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper, saying, take care of him, and whatever more you spend, I will pay you when I come back. Which of these three do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell among the robbers? And he said, the one who showed him mercy. And Jesus said to him, you go and do likewise. And so if you don't know if you saw it there, but Jesus kind of gives a roadmap and of what it looks like for us to step into sincere compassion. Now, before we kind of dive into the parable and what it teaches us, let's kind of talk about the context of what's happening here surrounding the parable. So it says a lawyer came to Jesus to put him to the test. So this lawyer would have been a religious leader. The religious leaders didn't like Jesus. And the reason why they didn't like Jesus is because Jesus would always expose what was going on in the hearts of an individual. He realized it's the heart issues is what causes us to sin. But the religious leaders didn't like that. They liked to focus on outward appearance. If they feel like they looked good, then everything was all right. And so they constantly were trying to put Jesus to the test. And so he tries to test Jesus and say, how can I inherit eternal life is what the lawyer says. And Jesus' response is, what does the law say? What is written in it? And he then quotes Leviticus 6:5, Deuteronomy 19:18, and he quotes that you should love your Lord God supremely and you should love your neighbor. And Jesus' response is yes, that's exactly it. Do this and you will live. And it's interesting how the lawyer responds to Jesus, even though he was the one who quoted these passages in the Old Testament. He's like, okay, cool. Love God, love my neighbor. All right. But Jesus, who exactly is my neighbor? And the Bible says that he was doing that in order to justify himself. Because what was happening here is this lawyer had a certain group of people that he wanted to love, that he wanted to care for, and then he had another group of people that he did not want to care for. And so he wanted Jesus to give him a specific answer. Who do I love, right? Who is my neighbor? Because I want to be justified in the people that I'm loving. I want to make sure that I'm doing caring for the people that I want to love, right? So in order to justify himself, he does that. A better question that he could have asked is, all right, Jesus, what does that look like for me to love my neighbor? Or even recognizing, listen, I can't love God supremely. I can't love the neighbor as myself. I'm incapable of doing that. Help me. Teach me how I can do that. But instead, he was focused on himself and he said, well, who is my neighbor? And then Jesus, in order to prove what that looked like and to prove a point, he tells the parable of the Good Samaritan. Now, for us, the word Samaritan in Naples, Florida in 2021 really doesn't mean much, right? It's just a word. But man, Jesus' statement actually here in this parable was radical in those days. Radical what he was trying to say, because he was talking to a Jew and he was talking about the good acts of a Samaritan. And Jews and Samaritans hated each other. They were bitter rivals. And because Samaritans, according to the Jews, were inferior and Samaritans were half-breeds because they were half Gentile and half Jews. So they didn't like them. They wouldn't even interact with them. In fact, the Jews would go a longer route when they were traveling because they wouldn't have to go inside of towns that Samaritans lived. They could not stand Samaritans. And so when Jesus gives this story about a good Samaritan who cared for a Jew when two other Jews did not, this was a radical statement by Jesus. And what Jesus was saying here is, who is your neighbor? Anyone and everyone is your neighbor. Even your worst enemy is considered your neighbor. Who are you called to love? Anyone and everyone. Even the people you despise. So it's not about people who look like you or act like you or meet a certain standard. No, anyone and everyone is supposed to be the people that you care for and love as your neighbor. So even as we step into this parable today, when we think about our neighbors, it's not just the people who live around you or you work with or you see on a regular basis. but anyone and everyone that you encounter is the people that you should love and should be considered your neighbor. So when Jesus gives the parable, he kind of gives, like I mentioned, three markers or benchmarks of how you and I can show sincere compassion, what it looks like. And so the first thing we see here is that sincere compassion is rooted in a genuine concern for the hurts and needs of our neighbors. So it starts, sincere compassion starts, it is rooted in a genuine concern for the hurts and the needs of our neighbors. Let's read verses 29 through 33 again. And it says, "But he, desiring to justify himself, said to Jesus, 'Who is my neighbor?' And Jesus replied, 'A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho.'" This would have been about 18 miles. "And he fell among robbers who stripped him and beat him and departed, leaving him half dead." There's a lot of mountain terranges when you would travel this road. And so robbers would often hide and prey on those who were weak. We see this happens to the man. They beat him. They take his money. They leave him half dead. It says in verse 31, "Now by chance, a priest who was going down that road, when he saw him, he passed on the other side." Priest would have been a religious leader, someone who worked within the church, right? What happens is he sees him, passes on the other side. This says in verse 32, "So likewise, the Levite who would have worked with the priest, another religious man, when he came to the place and saw him, passed on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he journeyed, came to where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion." So the difference between the Levite and the priest and the Samaritan is that the Levite and the priest passed on the other side, but the Samaritan, when he saw the individual that was hurting, the one that was in need, the Bible says that he had compassion on him. The NIV translation of the Bible says that he took pity on him. The message, which is the paraphrase of the Bible, it says that his heart went out to him. So what the Samaritan recognized that this was an individual who was hurting and in need, and he had compassion, his heart went out, he took pity on this individual because he realized he was a person who needed help and somebody to care for him. So he had genuine concern. The reality is, I think often when we encounter people who are hurting and in need, instead of having genuine compassion for these people, I think if we're honest with ourselves, like, we often just get annoyed. Like we're driving off the interstate and we see someone standing at the corner with a sign that says that they need food or they need a job, and we often think, oh man, like, I don't have time for this. I don't have time for this right now. We're watching a commercial that's talking about how we can donate towards kids who are hungry in other countries, and we see, oh man, I'm turning the channel. I can't do this. This bothers me. I can't watch stuff like this. I got to turn. Or maybe we're talking to people who have stepped in to caring for vulnerable children and fostering or better together. Like, man, like, that's great that you do that, but I could never do that. I could never take in a child and then give them back. I could never do that. Maybe it's way too hard for me. And often what happens because of our selfish bent towards ourselves, because, man, the sinfulness often within our hearts, when we actually see other people who are hurting and in need, we actually turn it around and make it about ourselves. I can't deal with this right now, right? I can't look at those images. I don't know the way it makes me feel. I could never give a child back, right? And what we do, instead of having genuine concern for an individual or a group of people that are hurting and in need, we instead actually turn it back about ourselves and make it about us. And what we need to see is when we want to have sincere compassion towards those who are hurting and in need, it starts with having genuine concern for them. Not making it about ourselves, but instead focusing on this individual that is hurting and in need, having compassion for them, our hearts going out to them, taking pity on them because we recognize that they are individuals that are suffering in the moment. So sincere compassion first starts with a genuine concern for the individual. And that's the first thing we see, the first benchmark, but it doesn't just stop at genuine concern. We see the second one is that sincere compassion moves us to take action towards the needs and hurts of our neighbors. So not only do we have genuine concern, but sincere compassion moves us then to take action. Look what it says, starting in verse 34, right? "He saw him and had compassion," in verse 33. 34 says, "And he went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. And then he set him on his own animal and brought him to an inn and took care of them." So not only did he have compassion for him, but the next step was he took action. He took oil and he took wine and he bound up the wounds of this individual, that he placed him up on his animal, and then he took him to an inn. And we see in the next verse that he gave money to him, right? Like he gave money to take care of him, that he took action to reach out and to care for this individual. We see it's not just enough to have genuine concern for the people that are hurting in need, but sincere compassion takes the next step to care for that individual, to care for them. And when we do that, man, we must recognize that it will cost us, right? It will cost us time. It will cost us money. It will cost us resources. It will cost us emotionally. It will cost us. It cost the Good Samaritan, right? It cost him oil and wine. It cost him, he couldn't ride on his animal. He had to put the man up there. It cost him money. You know, this it cost this Good Samaritan. It will cost us when we take action. But we need to be reminded that it's not about us, right? That it's about caring for these individuals that are hurting and that are in need. That's more important. It is worth the cost, right? That's why we're going to Publix today. When we dismiss out of here, we want to take action. We want to have genuine concern for those who are hungry and in need here in Naples. And then we want to go take action. We want to buy food. We want to build Helps Outreach because we want to take action and care and meet the tangible needs of those who are hurting and suffering. That is what sincere compassion does. It takes action, understanding that our neighbors are hurting and they're in need. It's focusing on the individual. I love this quote by Warren Wiersbe in his commentary of this parable. This is what he says. He says, "The lawyer wanted to discuss neighbor in a general way, but Jesus forced him to consider a specific man in need. How easy for us to talk about abstract ideas and fail to help solve concrete problems. We can discuss things like poverty and job opportunities, yet never personally help feed a hungry family or help somebody find a job." See, what sincere compassion does is it's not an abstract, like, oh, I feel bad for this person, but it makes us recognize people as people and stepping into that in a personal way to take action, to help them and care for those who are suffering, those who are in need. And so the first thing we see is sincere compassion moves us to take action. Moves us to have genuine concern. The second thing we see is that sincere compassion then takes action to help those in need. And then the third thing we see here is that sincere compassion moves us to engage in an ongoing process to bring healing and restoration to our neighbors. Genuine concern is met with action that is followed by an ongoing process to bring healing and restoration. Let's read again what it says in verse 35. It says, "And the next day he took out 2 denarii, which would have been a day's wages, 1 denarii, so like 2 days' wages, and gave them to the innkeeper, saying, 'Take care of him, and whatever more you spend, I'll repay you when I come back.'" And so he gives him the money, costs him in today's dollar, like thousands of dollars, cares for him. But then when he says something interesting, he says, "And I will pay you more money if I need to when I come back." See, what the Samaritan realized is this wasn't, "I'm going to take action once and then I'm going to get out of Dodge, never to see this individual again." He was committed to the ongoing process of bringing healing and restoration. "I'll be back. I will come back again. I'll take care of him. I'm in this for the long haul." And what we see what sincere compassion does, it's not just about take action once or once a year, but it's something that we are committed to the ongoing process of bringing healing and restoration. That we want to be people that don't just do something once every blue moon, once in a while when someone asks us to. We want to be people that understand that the hurts and the needs of individual often is an ongoing process to care for them and to heal them, to step into a relationship with them, to step into the hard places, not just once, but on a regular basis. And we see that's what the mindset of the Samaritan. That's what sincere compassion does. It's an ongoing process. We understand there's physical needs that need to be met. There's emotional needs that need to be met. And we want to meet those on a regular basis, caring for them and ministering to them. What's even more important than the physical needs and the emotional needs, which are important, is we even have an opportunity to do something even greater when we step in for the long haul in this ongoing process. Is we're able to show them the true spiritual healing and restoration that they can experience because of what Jesus Christ has done. we're able to care for people and to meet their needs in a physical sense. We can then follow it up by reminding them, yes, I want to give you food. I want to care for you. I want to help you. I want to support you. But even more than that, I want to point you to the one who can heal you and restore you for all of eternity. I want to show you a Savior who is great and can care for you and meet your greatest needs. That's why we love health outreach. Because what health outreach does is, yes, it meets the tangible needs of the people who are in need of food and clothing in Naples. But even beyond that, every person that walks through the doors of health outreach, the gospel is presented to them. That they show them, yes, we want to care for you. We want to fill your bellies up. We want to give you the food that you need. But even more importantly, we want to show you that there's a Savior who's called the bread of life. That there's a Savior who can give you living water that can satisfy you spiritually for the rest of your life. And so people come in and they remind them what the Bible says, that they are separated from God because of their sins. But then Jesus came. Jesus came to save them from their sins by dying on the cross for their sins, raising from the dead. And so if they trust Him as their Lord and Savior, that they can know Him. They can experience healing and restoration. And when we step into the lives of people to care for them and to take action, man, we have to build relationships with them. We have to get to know them. We have to invest in them, and then we're able to show them and tell them about the great and awesome and amazing God that we have that can save them and redeem them. We can give them more than just physical and emotional needs. We can give them what they truly need, a Savior, and that is provided in Jesus Christ. So it's just a great opportunity to be able to step into that and do that. There's a question you might just be asking, just following that up, like, all right, like, I understand sincere compassion. But like, why do we need to have sincere compassion? I understand the parable talks about it. I understand that Jesus teaches it, like all that. But like, why do we need to have it? Right? Why can't we just do it because it makes us feel good? Like, why can't we just do it to meet a need or because they asked us to? Why is it so important that we have this heart of sincere compassion as we step into something like Public Stay? Why is that so important? And the reason why it's so important for us to have sincere compassion, it's because our gracious God and Savior had sincere compassion towards us. And we want to be able to express that to everyone else around us. So the reality is that Jesus Christ was the perfect display of sincere compassion. That our God had sincere compassion towards us when we didn't deserve it. See, the Bible tells us that we are separated from God because of our sins, that we fall short of the glory of God, that none of us love God with our heart and soul and mind and strength, that none of us love our neighbors the way that we should. We all fall short of that. We never can live up to God's perfect standard. And because of that, because of our own sins, we deserve separation and death and punishment because of that. We deserve that rightly because of what we have done. But because of our God has sincere compassion towards us, that He had genuine concern for us in our needs and in our hurts. He knew that we were helpless. He knew that there was nothing that we could do. And His heart went out to us. He took compassion on us, took pity on us, and had genuine concern. I love what it says in Matthew 9:36. Speaking of Jesus, it says, "And when He saw the crowds, He had compassion for them, because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd." That you and I, we are harassed and helpless. We are sheep wandering about without a shepherd in this world. And because our great Savior, our great God saw this, He had genuine concern for you and I in our hurts and in our needs. But it didn't just stop with genuine concern, that our God took action. And He took action by coming down here to earth. That He moved into the neighborhood, that He pitched His tent among us, that He lived with us. Truly God, truly man, Jesus Christ came to live among His people, to be our great substitute. That He was perfect on our behalf when we failed to be perfect. And then He went upon the cross. We deserve consequences because of our sin, but Jesus took those consequences for us, bearing the wrath of God, experiencing the punishment and the separation and the death that you and I deserve. He took that upon Himself. And then He rose from the dead 3 days later. Conquering death, conquering sin, conquering the enemy, being victorious. So that you and I, when we trust Him as our Lord and Savior, that we can have a relationship with Him. That our sins can be forgiven. That we can know God. I'm reminded of what it talks about in the Bible. It says that you and I are in the domain of darkness on our own, helpless in our sins. But when Jesus came and rescued us, He transformed us from the domain of darkness into His marvelous light, where you and I can have redemption and the forgiveness of our sins. That we can be brought back into the family of God, that we can be reconciled with God, all because of Jesus. When we trust Him as our Lord and Savior, He took action, sincere compassion towards us. But He didn't just take action one time. That there's an ongoing process that when we accept Christ as our Lord and Savior, the Spirit comes within us, the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, to live among us, to be with us, to care for us, and to comfort us. He is near to the brokenhearted. He saves the crushed in spirit. He walks with us and cares for us and ministers to us and brings healing and restoration to us, shapes us and molds us to look more like Jesus as we walk this world out of sincere compassion. He didn't just make action once. Our God is in for the long haul. He's committed. He won't leave us and He won't forsake us. And so because our Savior had sincere compassion towards us, genuine concern, took action, committed to an ongoing process, because of what He's done for us, you and I then, as an overflow of what God has done for us, we can express that to other people. That as our gratitude and our thanksgiving, this is what my God has done for me when I didn't deserve it. Now I want to give that to you when you may not even deserve it, because that was an overflow of what my God has done for me. Sincere compassion. And then we also do it to represent God to a lost and dying world. When we step in and we care for them and we're committed to them, we take action, they see something different and we can show them, yeah, we're doing this because of what God has done for me. And not only do you do it for me, but He did it for you as well. And we have an opportunity to present the gospel and present the one who displayed perfect, sincere compassion towards His people, in hopes that these individuals would know Jesus and embrace Him as their Lord and Savior. And so we see today, as we examine the parable of the Good Samaritan, sincere compassion is our heart and desire, the things that we want to step into. So in the next 2 or 3 minutes, right, application. What does that mean for you and I today? 3 applications. Application number 1, when we get done here, go to Publix. Just go up there. Fill up your carts, right, as much as your budget allows, maybe a little bit beyond your budget allows, whatever God puts on your heart. Go up there, take action, fill up your carts, give it to the person that will be on the truck waiting for it. Donate this food to help those who are hurt and in need. Let's take action today as a church, as a body of believers. Let's go and take action and tangibly meet these needs that are so important here in Collier County. So that's application number 1. Application number 2. What happens beyond today? And so we're going to take action today together, but I think the long-term challenge that this passage gives us, that the Lord is giving to you, is what does it look like for you to have an ongoing process to caring for those who are in need and hurting, your neighbors today? What does that look like for you? Right, we don't expect you, and God doesn't expect you, to step into every single need that there is in Collier County or Lee County. Right? That's not what He's asking you to do, but He is calling us to step into some need that is there. And so the question that you have to examine is, what is God calling me to step into? What is that need that I can step in and show sincere compassion on a regular basis? Think about, if you don't know what that is, maybe think through, like, you know, what are you passionate about? How has God gifted you? Maybe there's certain hurts that you see that people are going through that tugs at your heartstrings a little bit more than others. Maybe that's what God is calling you to step into. What does it look like for you on a regular basis to do that? Maybe it's helping at Helps Outreach, right? Helps Outreach is something that's around this year round that they need help. We have volunteers to go down there and to help them at the food bank, to interact with the people that come in. Ron Avola, who attends here, he helps there as well. Maybe have a conversation with Ron and be like, hey, Ron, what is it like for me to step in, to volunteer, to do this on a regular basis as an ongoing way for me to express sincere compassion? Maybe you as a family say, hey, once a month, we're going to buy food at the grocery store and we're going to drop it off at Helps Outreach. They need more than just food drives once a year. They're in constant need of food. So maybe you take it upon yourself to be that family that steps into that and donates that food. We have other ministry organizations that God could be asking you to step into. I think about Path to Freedom, an amazing ministry partner that we have. They help rescue women who are in sex trafficking, bring them off the streets and into a safe place. They minister to them. They care for them. And they need people to volunteer, to step into those hard places, to love and to care for these individuals. And even later this month, on October 30th, we're going to have a men's service project that we're going to go and help at Path to Freedom. More information will be coming out about that this week, that maybe you step into that just to serve in a tangible way to help such a great ministry that's in need of volunteers. I think about Pregnancy Resource Center, or PRC. Nicole Shanks works there and comes to this campus as well. And they care for women who come in and they're pregnant and they don't know what they're going to do with their child. And so they bring them in and they love them and they support them and they care for them. They remind them that the child within them is an image bearer of God that is worthy to have life. And so they meet those needs. They care for them. They minister to them. And they need people to do that. They need people to step in and to help these women, to encourage them and to remind them the things that are true. Maybe God's calling you to step into that. You can talk to Nicole about it. Or maybe it's even something a little bit longer term, something a little more committed on a regular basis. One thing that we have a great need of here in Collier and Lee County is we have vulnerable children who are in need of safe homes. And so maybe that's what God's calling you to do, is to step into something like that, whether it's foster care or Better Together, that you open up your home and your life to take in these children. You take action to bring them in, and then as an ongoing process to minister, to care for them, to meet physical needs, and then remind them of the God who created them and loved them and died for them. Maybe you step into something like that. On November 7th, we're going to have ECI Sunday, Every Child Initiative Sunday. I'd love to talk more about that then. I'd love to talk to you more about that, of what it looked like for you to step into these places. Or maybe many other mission organizations that we have, but what does it look like for you as an individual, for your family, to step into that ongoing process of caring for people so that you can show sincere compassion the way that God shows sincere compassion towards you? And then the third application is very simple. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you've never embraced the sincere compassion that He has shown towards you, by dying for your sins, by raising from the dead, by wanting to bring you back into His family, and you can be forgiven of your sins. If you've never experienced that, I would love to talk to you about it. Any of the other pastors would too. More dialogue, what it means to know Jesus. What it means to understand Him, have a relationship with Him. It's the greatest decision you will ever make in your life. And I would love to talk to you about that. And so at the end of the parable, Jesus said in verse 36 to the man, He said, "Which of these three do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell among the robbers?" And he said, "The one who showed mercy on him." And Jesus said to him, "You go and do likewise." And so, child of God, beloved, go and do likewise. Show the same mercy and compassion towards your neighbor that God has shown towards us because of His great work and His redemption towards you and I. And so that's, as we transition real quick, I'm going to give us a few logistics before we get out of here. We're not going to do communion today. We're not going to have a closing song. I'm going to give a quick logistics, and then we're going to head out those doors. I'm going to end on a benediction, and we encourage you to leave. So as you leave today's door on your way out, there'll be a blue sheet that will have a list of things that you need or you can buy for Health Outreach. Publix is waiting for us. They should have a bunch of stuff set out for us in order to do that. It should be very simple, ready to go. You'll go there, you'll purchase your groceries, and then on your way out, there'll be a truck, and you'll be able to just give it to the volunteers at the truck, and they'll come load it into the truck. The Publix that we're using, like I mentioned, is right up here, about a mile north at the corner of Bonita Beach Road and 41. You can actually take a left, because it's on your left-hand side, at Bonita Beach Road, and it's right back there. So it's very simple to get to. The address is actually on the blue sheet. If you need to look that up. So it's very simple, right up the road here, an opportunity for you to serve. After people have time to shop, we're actually going to take a team down to Health Outreach on JC Boulevard and unload the truck. If you have time to do that today, that would be a huge blessing to order to do that for us. You can go down there and unload that, even see their facilities. So I encourage you, if you have time to do that, we'd love for you to do that today. And so we're going to dismiss this here in a moment. And what we do is we end with a benediction, which is a blessing for the road. We start with the call to worship. We do a benediction at the end. It's kind of a challenge of what we learned today to take that with us. So if you would stand with me, if you want to participate in that benediction, I'll just encourage you to extend your hands like this. Summit Church, we have a gracious God who showed sincere compassion towards us, that He had genuine concern for us and our hurts and our needs and took action to meet those by dying on the cross for our sins and being raised from the dead. Now He has an ongoing process of caring for us and healing us and bringing restoration. And so with the heart that Christ has towards us, let us show sincere compassion towards those who are hurting and need. Let us go to Publix and buy pasta and cereal and green beans and rice and all the things on the list. Remembering that these are individuals that need tangible needs met, but also need the good news of Jesus Christ. And let us represent Him to every man, woman, and child. Peace be with you, Summit Church.